I have five charts that we have not seen. I'm going to read the titles off. I want you to think about this. Which one do you want to do? I mean, which one do you want to do? Because I'm going to hang it up, and you are going to tell me how to present that chart. Okay? That's going to be our group activity. Now, the ladies are welcome to tell me things. This lady tells me things all the time. So I know how that works.
Do you listen?
Yeah. Yeah. Samuel, your job is to make sure Tammy gets in her car all right. Okay. just look out the door and make sure. All right. Scream loud so we can hear you. All right. Here's the names of these charts. Now, I'm going to read them all, and then we'll go over them again, okay? The way of the cross leads home. I wonder what that one looks like. The way of the cross leads home. Yeah, there's a song. Okay, here's one. Can a good man be saved out of the church? Can a good man be saved out of the church? Here's one. Cart before the horse. Okay. Cart before the horse. That'd be a good chart there. Okay. Preach the gospel. Leave others alone. Preach the gospel. Leave others alone. And then, what and why must I preach? What and why must I preach? Do you got that in your mind? Did you settle on one you like? Okay, we're going to get a consensus here. Okay, I'll go back over it. The way of the cross leads home. One, two. Help me keep up with that, okay? Two, the way of the cross leads home. Can a good man be saved out of the church? Okay, I'm going to lay this one aside. Nobody wanted that one. Uh-huh. Cart before the horse. You want to see that one? Okay, we got one for that. Okay. Preach the gospel, leave others alone. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. You voting twice?
Yeah.
Eight. I think that's going to win. Okay. Preach the gospel. Here's another one. I didn't know you could vote twice.
Oh, yeah. You
did. No, I didn't say you couldn't. So, okay. Didn't say not to. What and why must I preach? What and why must I preach? One, two, three. Well, this one pretty much looks like what we're going to do is preach the gospel and leave others alone. There's something in here. There's something in here. I don't know what it is. So we'll see if we can do this. But I feel something in there. So let's see how this works. I'm going to open up the chart. Yeah, I don't want to lose it. See what's in there. Oh, I see what it is. There's a little piece of a ruler in there. Okay. Now. Okay. All right, help me out. And never before seen by any of us. All right. Got it? Okay. Preach the gospel. Here. Pull it out just a little more. Pull it. And put it right on the end. Have you got that? That'll hold it. All right, here's what we have. Preach the gospel. Leave others alone.
That's virtually impossible.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's virtually impossible to do that. I heard a fellow say one time, talking to a preacher, he said, look, you're doing this all wrong. He says, now I sell refrigerators. And what I do, I tell all the good points about my refrigerator. I don't go around running down all the other refrigerators. I just tell them the good points about my refrigerator. And that's how you need to preach the gospel. Just tell the good points about the gospel. And don't go running all these other things down. And here's what the preacher said. He said, the Frigidaire will keep the air frigid. And the cold spot will keep the spot cold. But the denomination can't save. That's pretty good, wasn't it? That's why you don't sell the gospel like you sell refrigerators. Now, all right, let's look here in the middle. Something was to hang on this. Did we drop something? There was a ruler here somewhere. Oh, the rulers are on back holding this. No, they're holding these little things on here. So I don't know what would hang there. You know, you had some where you hang stuff. So we'll see how that works. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Look that up. 1 Corinthians 9:16. I think you're going to find there where it says, woe unto me if I teach not the gospel. So someone looking at that want to tell me about the context of that or something around that that we need to take note of. What does it say? What's the whole verse say?
Whole verse?
Yeah, the whole verse.
The whole verse is, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For the necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Okay, I have nothing to glory of. I have to do this, is what Paul is saying. I'm compelled to preach the gospel. And woe is me if I do not. All right?
He's defending his apostleship here.
Okay.
That first 15 or so verses, he's going through defending, you know, his apostleship as ordained by the Lord.
All right. Was he leaving others alone in the book of 1 Corinthians? He wasn't. What are some of the others that he had to confront in the book of 1 Corinthians? What were some of the things he had to confront?
The congregation wasn't rebuking sin.
Yeah, they were carnal, weren't they? He didn't leave them alone for that. I'm thinking about those that were
naming themselves after other people. You know, I'm following Paul, I'm following Peter.
Yeah, he didn't leave them alone, did he? No, he said, you don't do that. You don't divide like that.
Well, when he said go into all the nations and preach the gospel, he didn't say go into this nation or that nation. He said all.
So the gospel is for all, right. I'm thinking in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, there were some that said there was no resurrection. He didn't just leave that alone. In fact, he called them fools.
Also,
didn't he?
Mentioned about the person that had his father's wife.
Yeah. Well, just talk about what's good about God's plan for marriage and leave others alone. Let's leave that man alone. Just talk about what's good about what God planned, and those that aren't doing that, well, just leave them alone. That's not what Paul did in 1 Corinthians.
Christ was in the church and the husbands
be him. Right. So Paul didn't follow that rule of preach the gospel and leave others alone. He certainly didn't in the book of 1 Corinthians. So I guess if I was, go ahead.
It amazes me. A lot of people think Paul's travel is just kind of mediocre. But you got to remember, jump on a donkey and go 1,000 miles. Jump on a boat that takes men and go 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, when you, I taught a class last night, a lot of people don't realize when they say Macedonia and Galatia, they're 1,600 miles apart.
Okay.
They're states. And Paul went to all of them. He didn't leave out, I'm going to Galatia, and I ain't going over here to Thessalonica or Macedonia or wherever, you know, Corinth. I ain't going there. But if you look at Paul's preaching, he hit that whole, we could call them states or providence or whatever, but he hit all of that, all of that.
So bringing back,
he didn't leave out nobody.
Bringing that back then to this chart, evidently he felt compelled. Woe is me if I don't. Okay? Now, looking at this, I always kind of think counterclockwise. I think we ought to go clockwise or counterclockwise around these verses. How do you want me to do it? Counterclockwise? All right, then someone look up Mark 16:15-16 and read that to me. Mark 16:15-16.
He said unto them, go ye all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
All right. How does that relate to the what it says here? Preach the gospel and leave others alone. How does that verse, that passage, relate to that topic?
Some would say any baptism is valid. That
yeah.
Denominational or baby baptism is valid.
Right, right.
As long as you're baptized, you're good.
That's right. Anyway,
any method,
any for any reason, yeah. At any age. Okay, but Paul didn't just say he that believeth, did he? He that believeth not. Why didn't he just leave them alone? He said, he that believeth not shall be damned in the King James Version. Now, some condemn. Didn't sound like he's leaving the unbelievers alone there, was he? So that's how that passage, I'd say, would relate to that topic.
We also have a responsibility to teach the gospel and to share it with others. And if we know to and don't, then that falls back on our shoulders.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, we'll get punished for that.
Well, that goes back to the woe is me if I don't. Isn't it? All right. So I'm going to look up Galatians 1:6-9. And read that.
It says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we are an angel from the heaven, preach any other gospel to you, and what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed.
All right. How does Galatians 1:6-9, how would that relate to preach the gospel and leave others alone?
Some will say leave the Mormons alone.
You know, the Mormons were taught by an angel, weren't they? I mean, an angel appeared to John Smith. I had some Mormons in my living room one time, and they were telling me about the Book of Mormon and how, I think it was Gabriel, the angel Gabriel appeared to John Smith while he was up in New York. Joseph Smith. He's up in New York and told him where to dig. And he dug there and he uncovered the plates of Nephi, I think they call them, written in ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. And he translated it. In fact, the angel told him how to do it. Put it down in a hat and use a peep stone. And you put it down in a hat. When it's down in the hat, you can look at it through that peep stone, and it'll tell you what it says. And he translated those things and put that in the Book of Mormon by looking through that peep stone in that hat. Here's what I told him. Here's what I said. I said, listen, if an angel were to show up in my living room right now and tell me to go dig in a mountainside to see if I could find some ancient Egyptian hieroglyphic, you know what I'd do? They said, what? I said, I'd let him be accursed. That's what I said. Well, that kind of upset them. But then we looked over here at Galatians, and that's what it says. If an angel from heaven teach any other thing, let him be accursed. Now, there were some there that were teaching another gospel, weren't they? So if I was preaching this, I would say, did Paul leave those teaching another gospel alone? If any man teach any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. He didn't leave them alone, did he? So that's how I'd relate that to the title. Yes.
One thing, a couple of scriptures I'm thinking about is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Now, if the gospel is good for this, it'll show you what you did wrong. So it's for correction. It's for reproof. To show you how to make it right, it's for correction. And then show you how to keep it right. Instruction in righteousness. Now, do you need something else? I mean, shows you what's wrong, shows you how to make it right, shows you how to keep it right. Do you need something else? And so three times he said, man of God may be perfect. That's complete. You can't get any better than that. Truly furnished, not partially furnished. And into every good work, not that there's some good works, every one of them. That shows you the scriptures tell us all we need to know, and we don't need another testament of Jesus Christ, do we? That's what the Mormons come up with, another testament. So yeah, and Paul didn't leave them alone that were teaching other gospels.
Doing like that, it's impossible to not leave others alone.
That's right. If you teach the truth, they're going to see the difference. But Paul didn't just do that. He pointed out the error and what others were teaching. And so he did not leave them alone. Let's look at this one. Someone look at 1 Peter 4:11. And read that to me.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Okay. How does that relate to what we've been talking about now? Tell me how that relates.
You speak the gospel of the truth, that's going to offend people because not everybody believes the gospel is true. They don't want to hear it.
I'm thinking if I was doing this, I'd kind of use this as a support passage for what we just looked at here. Yeah, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Oracles. We don't usually use that word much, but we hear the word orator. An orator is one that speaks, isn't it? An oration. We might be familiar with that word. That is something that is spoken. An oration. That's a speech. So an oracle is something spoken. And it's usually used in the sense of a message from God. So if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If that's something spoken, doesn't that sound like, if any man speaks, let him speak like God speaks? You know, one of the mottos we sometimes use is, speak where the scriptures speak. And then the implication that follows is, be silent where the Bible is silent. And I like the way we follow that up sometimes. Call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things in Bible ways. So if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, something God speaks. Yes, Steve.
I just a note that I had written down in on the bottom on this verse, let him speak the speech of God.
Speak the speech of God. That's what it is. Yeah. Okay. I'd kind of use that maybe as a supporting passage for this. Unless, is there something in that context? 1 Peter 4. I don't have it in front of me, but look at it. Is there something in that context where he didn't leave somebody alone? 1 Peter 4. There certainly is in 2 Peter. In the book of 1 Peter, Paul is encouraging the Christians about problems that are going to come on the church from without. Talking about enduring suffering.
Condemning drunkenness, yeah, drinking parties. Yeah.
Oh, read that whole thing. Read it. Read what all he's going to condemn.
For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries.
He didn't leave the drunks alone, did he? No. He didn't leave the idolaters alone, did he? Okay, so I'd probably bring that verse into this.
He also says, well, be hospitable to each other without grumbling, and that fits everybody.
Oh, he didn't bring the grumblers along. He said, that fits everybody. Okay. All right. He didn't leave grumblers alone. So Peter, he didn't just preach the gospel and leave others alone, did he? He didn't leave the drunks alone in that passage. So, and the others living in immorality and debauchery, he pointed it out. So I think that might be coming into play with this as well. But like I said, 1 Peter has to do with problems from without. 2 Peter has to do with church problems from within. That's where he's warning about false teachers. And I tell you, 2 Peter chapter 2, he does not leave them alone. I mean, he rips into it. So, all right, 1, 2, 3. Let's go down this way, if that's all right. We'll cover it like that. Not really go all the way around, but we'll do this side and then we'll do this side. We've got 2 Timothy 4. Verses 1 through 4. Oh, I know where we're going with this one. Someone read that. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4.
As I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be burned aside to fables, or turned aside.
All right. Paul didn't leave those ear scratchers alone, did he? You know, there's preachers that can do mighty well in, if they will figure out what it is people want to hear and then tell them what they want to hear. And everyone will talk about, oh, that's the most wonderful preacher. You know, he always tells me what I want to hear. But that's not what Paul told Timothy. He says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. I read an article on the psychology of preaching. And we need to study psychology so that we can make sure we're meeting people's needs and we're saying things in a manner that it'll be well received. And we need to work on our methods. And if we would study psychology, we could improve on our method. And the old preacher said, Well, my method is reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That's the apostolic method. And so that's what Bible preaching is going to do. And he warns about those that come along later and tell you just what you want to hear. He didn't leave those ear-scratching preachers alone, did he? You know, you'd make a good friend of a dog if you'll scratch his ear. You ever notice that? You just scratch their ear, and you'd make a good friend of a lot of dog-like folks that'll do that too. Just scratch their ears, and they'll just love you. But that doesn't mean you're teaching them what they need to hear. Yes?
Just look at what we've got, gentlemen, out of Texas. You won't find no better speaker than him. I mean, you won't. He's on TV, and he's a slick dude. Now he is. Billy Graham, you won't find no better speaker than him. He's an excellent speaker. But he taught false doctrine. I mean, these gentlemen, they can make pretty well anybody believe if they sit down and just listen to them.
Yeah.
But when you talk about false teachers, a lot of times we think, well, they don't do. Yeah, they're pretty slick. You got to watch the false teachers instead of time.
Have you ever had an itch in the middle of your back that you can't reach? Oh boy, that can drive you crazy, can't it? I mean, you want to find a corner of a wall or something and scratch it. I was doing some surveying one time over in West Tennessee, and we were in this old wet marshes coming up to about our knees or between our knees and our hips out there. And I tell you, it was weedy and it was hot, and you could hear the grasshoppers buzzing around. You can imagine. We were sweating, and we were doing fine until someone said, I hope we don't find a snake. That scared us to death. We couldn't quit thinking about snakes now. So we're out there and all that, and I had on waders, okay? I had on waders, and my bottom of my foot got to itching. There was no way I could scratch that. It was just mud down there, and I couldn't feel it. Oh, I was just miserable as I could be. Now, some of us sometime will be out in public, and we'll have an itch in a place that we dare not scratch. You just don't want to do that in public. You know, in those certain places, you just don't scratch there. But the most dangerous itch in the world is an itching ear. Because the only thing that'll scratch it is a false teacher. They'll heap to themselves, it's them with the itching ears, and they're looking for somebody to scratch it. Okay? Well, Paul didn't leave them alone. He didn't just preach the gospel and leave that alone. He warned them about that they would not endure sound doctrine. Yes.
Also talking about being in season and out of season. You know, being willing to preach the word when it's popular and when it's not, you know, that would go along with it pretty well.
That's right, in season and out of season. Sometimes it's not a good time. I mean, but you've got to teach it. I think it was Marshall Keeble said that means preach it when they want it, preach it when they don't, preach it when they listen, preach it when they want. That's what in season and out of season means, okay? Anything else on that?
As a young student sitting in a Bible class, the instructor telling us, said, boys, about this preaching, and how much ought to be negative and how much ought to be positive? Well, I screwed up my head. I said, 2/3 negative. He looked at me, where did you come up with that? Rebuke and exhort.
There you go. Okay, there's two negatives and one positive there. 2/3 negative. Yes.
Positively reprove, positively rebuke, and positively exhort. Exhort them to repent.
That's right. Right. Exhort them to repent. Yes, ma'am.
Could you say that then again? In season and out of season?
It means preach it when they want it. Preach it when they don't. Preach it when they listen. Preach it when they won't. That was Marshall Keeble's definition of in season, out of season. I sometimes think of sports. You know, sports are sometimes in season and out of season, but the gospel's always in season, isn't it? Don't put that out of season. It's always in season. All right. Let's see what else we got. Anything else on that before we go to the next one? Okay, let's go to the next one. Y'all are preaching this chart real good. Okay. I'm going to make a point on that at the end of this. This is 2 John verses 9 through 11. There is no chapters in 2 John. It doesn't, because it's just all one piece. You don't say 2 John 1, 9 through 11. It's usually just jump right to the verses. So 2 John 9 through 11. Someone read that to me.
Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deed.
All right. If they bring not this doctrine, leave them alone. Well, he didn't just leave them alone. He said, don't receive them. Don't receive them. I wonder about that verse. Receive them not into your house. Into your house. And my thoughts on that are that it was common for the early church to gather in someone's house. And so by receive them not into your house means you don't receive them into your assembly. Now, what do? Someone comes in. It means you don't get them up and let them start teaching the assembly. That's what I think it means. Receive them not into your house. Neither bid them Godspeed. When they get through, don't talk about what a good lesson that was. Because it wasn't. It wasn't a good lesson. So receive them not into your house. Now, if a false teacher were to come to Rock Cliff where I preach, I would welcome him to his seat, but I wouldn't invite him to the pulpit. In fact, I'd be glad he came, thinking, well, now maybe he'll learn something today. So receive him not into your house. I think that means don't let him teach the church that meets in that house. And then don't talk about what a good lesson that was when it wasn't. I'll tell you something that happened to me. And it happened twice. Two different places. And this was not an easy thing to do. But they had asked me to lead singing. That was about 20 years ago when I could do that. I could lead singing better then than I can now. So they asked me to lead singing. I remember the fellow that got up to preach wasn't a regular preacher. His sermon was Great Liberals in the Bible. And he went through where he thought people could see what the Bible said, but they, due to the circumstances and all, they deviated from what the Bible said. And he was commending them. He even mentioned Jesus as a great liberal of the Bible, talking about how, you know, David and the taking the showbread, you know, and did what was not lawful to do. But Jesus was laying aside the Bible because people were hungry. So these great liberals of the Bible knew you just don't just take God at his word, you kind of look at this, see if it really is going to fit here today. And then I'm supposed to lead the invitation song. Okay, what do you do? What do you do? Here's what I did. I got up and said the invitation song was number such and such. Now while you're turning to that, I want to tell you that with all good conscience, I cannot invite you to respond to that sermon. And then I went through point by point where he had that wrong. And I said, now what we need to do is just exactly, and there was one of the older men that had served as an elder there, and it's one of his sayings, we always got to do what God says. So you just follow John Lasley. He has taught you when he was an elder here, we always need to do just what God says. If you want to respond to that, I'm leading this invitation song. Well, you know, I got mixed reaction from that. There was another time, I forgot what the guy was talking about. It was very similar to this, how that we don't need to be teaching against false doctrine. That what we need to do is just teach the truth and invite others to the glory of the truth and not turn people away by teaching against false doctrine. And when it was, I supposed to lead an invitation for that, what would you do? Well, I did the same thing. I said, the invitation number is such and such, and while you're turning to it, I want to remind you that Jude 3 said to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. That means once for all, and to contend with it means you got to get in a wrestling match with these people that aren't teaching it right. If you want to respond to that, I'm going to lead this invitation song. Well, I got mixed reactions over that too. You know, if you will take a stand for the truth like that, some people are just going to love you. I mean, they are just going to embrace you and love you. And some people are going to think you're just about as bad a fella as they could have ever possibly known. And how dare I embarrass someone or do something like that? It's going to really make a difference, you know. So, but that happened to me twice. Now, I probably would not have said anything if I hadn't had to leave singing, but I was compelled. You know, I don't just think leading singing is just something you just do. I want people to respond, but I want to respond to the truth. So if they're going to ask me to lead singing, they better preach the truth, or I've got to fix it before I leave the invitation song. Okay. Now, I'm not going to say if somebody gets off on a little something, and if, you know, if they talk about Jonah and the ark or something, I'm not going to worry about things like that. But if they're teaching, if their lesson is about teaching false doctrine, then I'm just don't ask me to leave singing if you don't want to hear me correct it before I leave the invitation song. That's how I handled that. Okay, well, I didn't leave others alone, did I? All right. Well, anything else before we go to the last one? All right, let's go to this. Acts 20, verses 20 through 27. See how this relates to our topic.
Now, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God.
Three things there, maybe four things here. One, I kept back nothing. If there was something they needed to hear, Paul made sure they heard it. He said, well, I'm going to hold that one back. I'll just hold back on that. Now, I do think there's times maybe to think, okay, I'm going to lay some groundwork so I can address this later. But while Paul was at Ephesus, what, 2.5 years? And I mean, he covered it all. He kept back nothing. And among the things that he preached was repentance. Okay, that means he had to do some reproving and rebuking. He had to show whether scriptures are profitable for rebuke and showing how to correct. So if he was preaching repentance, he was pointing out some sins along the way and that people needed to have a change of heart about. All right, and then he said that I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. That goes back to kept back nothing. I kept back nothing, and what he's saying here, I gave it all. And those two statements are what he didn't do and what he did do to make sure they heard everything. It doesn't go into it here, but if you go down a little further, he's going to warn those elders, you need to look after yourselves, because among your own selves, will grievous wolves arise, teaching things they ought not, and draw away disciples after them. So Paul didn't leave others alone there, did he? What else there in that passage that would relate to our topic up here?
Paul mentioned to the brethren at Philippi, the Philippians, that he was ready for the defense of the gospel. So you can't have a defense of the gospel without
some opposition. Yeah. Defense and confirmation of the gospel, I think is what he called it. You know, when Paul was in Paphos, and Elymas the sorcerer resisted him, he didn't leave him alone. He struck him blind. That's what he did for a season, for a while. But he didn't just leave him alone. I bet there's nothing the devil, brother, you do than just leave false teaching alone. Just leave it alone. But he preached the gospel and left others alone. Now, I know what happened here. And that is that his daddy used to have some cards. And I didn't see them here. And I don't know if he's got them somewhere else or not. This is Dan's father. What's his name? Yeah, BJ. Okay, Bobby Jones, BJ Jones, Robert Joseph. Is that it? And they called him Bobby Jones and BJ, okay? But you see these two hooks here? I bet you he had some cards. He'd say, now let's use some examples. And he'd hang them on that hook. And there it would be. And then he'd take the other one and hang that over it on that hook until he taught. I'd like to know what those were. What would you hang on that hook?
False teachers.
Yeah, let's get specific. What about infant baptism? Want to leave that alone? What about salvation by faith only? Want to leave that? Just leave that alone? Just leave that alone. What about instrumental music? Well, just leave that alone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. What about marriage, divorce, and remarriage? Maybe I'll just leave that alone. You know, I can think of several topics that you just leave alone. But if you leave it alone, what Paul say over here in Acts? He says, I'm innocent from the blood of all men because I kept back nothing. If you hold back something that needs to be taught, you're not innocent. Their blood's on you because you failed to teach them, isn't it? That's a pretty powerful chart that you all picked out tonight. Now, here's the thing. None of us had prepared for this. I'd never seen this chart. In fact, I wasn't even sure what the names of them were. When I got up, I had to kind of figure out what to read. But these aren't hard to teach. They kind of teach themselves. You get a good chart, put the topic up, and if you just think about it, see if I've thought about it, I could have probably had a real good lesson. Well, then I think we did real good anyway from what you all brought to me and what we brought out. But just think how easy it would be to preach. It reminds me of something Gobel Music said in his book, Behold the Pattern, that preaching the truth is the easiest thing there is to do. Just to see what the Bible says and teach it. Now, if you want to entertain, if you want to be clever, if you want men to love you, if you want to be creative, I tell you, it can wear you out. But if you'll just preach the truth, it's not that hard to do. And that's what we preachers need to focus on. And these charts aren't hard to preach, are they? They're not hard to preach. Okay. I'm going to dismiss this, but you want to see what these other charts were? Let's just see what they are. Come. Matthew, come here. We'll just hold them up. This one is called What and Why Must I Preach? Let's just see what that looks like. Okay. Go this way. Hold it up. Oh, look at that. That's beautiful, isn't it? What and why must I preach? What? Here he's got the gospel. No other doctrine. The word. Christ crucified. The oracles of God. The whole counsel. Faith and obedience. Okay, he's got what? And then he's got why? To please God. To obey Christ. I mean, you could just right there and preach that lesson, couldn't you? Okay. Somebody want to get a picture of it while it's up? Okay. All right, let's get looking at another one. The way of the cross leads home. Okay, we could sing a song. That'd be a good to sing that song as an invitation song after this lesson. How does this work here? Oh, I see. The way of the cross leads home. That's here. Here's the cross. What does it have? The unbelief village.
All the different ways you can go. Neglectville.
Oh, Neglectville. Yeah. Okay, it's kind of like a maze. Do you see the maze in here? There's a maze in here. And the only one that'll get you home here, it's got to be the way of the cross. Yeah, go right down the way of the cross. Don't get detoured over here into Pleasant Center or Unfaithful City or World Town. What's that one say? Crown of Life. Okay, go. This is the way of the cross. Leads you to the crown of life and detours along the way. That's pretty clever, isn't it? The way of the cross will lead home. All right, that'd be fun to preach. All right, and then this one, cart before the horse. You know, a title like that will get attention, won't it? I think that's it. Oh, look at there. He's got it in Western script. The cart before the horse. And there's the cart, and there's the horse behind it. I tell you, that's about my grandmother. She remembers the first time she rode in an automobile. It was one of those horseless carriages. You know, that's what they used to look like. It looked like a carriage with a motor on the back of it. And she sat right up there in the front. She was a little girl, and she sat up there in the front, and that thing went down the street. She said she just giggled and giggled and giggled about how silly they must look riding that thing around without a horse in front of them. Okay. Well, what about the horse? Your horse is going to push the cart? And we use that common expression, cart before the horse. Baptized before taught. That'd be infant baptism, wouldn't it? That's putting the cart before the horse. Saved before they obey? Isn't that putting the cart before the horse? What's this one say? Saved before baptism? What's that one? New life before you're in Christ. A trial marriage. Boy, that's putting a cart before the horse, isn't it? All right. Let's look over here. I got everybody's attention now. The world before God. What's this one say? Teach. What's that mean? Put somebody up to teach that aren't even living the word. And then they're trying to teach the word and they're not living it. That's probably what that's talking about. Lead before proven. You know, the deacons are the first to be proved. Yeah, and that's what that's talking about. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 about proven. Okay, what's this one? Rest before work. That's what you do when you retire, see. You can't do that till you retire. You got to work so you can rest, okay? And then, boy, powerful, isn't it? You don't want to die before you're ready. That's a powerful last point on that. So let's open it all up again. You don't want to put the cart before the horse. I tell you, that'll preach, won't it? All right, now, Dan has many, many more of these. He's just given us some samples. And he might be here next week. He plans to come and bring us, I think he said a CD or jump drive or something, pictures of all of these charts. And the man that took these pictures was, he died not long ago.
St. John.
Yeah, yeah. Edward St. John took pictures of all these charts. And he's got those. Good old Edward St. John. If you don't remember him, boy, he was one to remember, wasn't he? You'll get to meet him someday if you stay faithful. Good for Edward St. John. So, this is going to conclude the class on preaching from the old sermon charts. But we may do this again sometime and look at some other charts, maybe from another preacher or something. There's a bunch of these around. And if you never get your hands on some of these, hang on to them. There just need to be. Some of these days, I think we're going to see them in museums as genuine folk art. And they'll probably be really worth something. But the message is where they're really worth something, isn't it? The message that they teach makes them worth something. Okay. I went over time. Nobody was keeping my time. So we're